Welcome to the Hardware Asylum Podcast. In this episode, we ask the question, what makes a great gaming PC? Is it RGB? Is it the cooling? Let's find out. I'm your host, Dennis Garcia. With me today, I have Darren McKinney. Darren, one of the curses of running a hardware review website is that I get questions about, how is my build? I want to put this together. What should I put in my system?
Oh, the old build recommends.
Build recommends. And one of my former coworkers comes to me saying that his daughter wants to build a gaming PC.
Oh, good for her.
I know. And I'm like, this is awesome. Better to build than to buy, in my opinion. Sometimes the cost is a little different, but she wanted to build. And her brother actually sent her a PC parts picker list because she had a budget of $1,000.
Not bad.
And her brother had actually put together an entire system for less than $1,000, which I thought was actually pretty impressive because PCs, a decent one, is usually going to be $1,200 to $1,400.
Well, I remember we used to talk about the barrier of entry being $600, and then it went to $800, and then $1,000. And I mean, it seems to be creeping up to the point where it's not unusual to have a $1,200 to $1,500 build be something you recommend.
And that is, of course, with an operating system. A lot of people forget about the operating system.
Right.
So I thought that we could just kind of go through the list real quick. And the whole point of this is like, well, what makes a good gaming build? And I thought we could also talk about that as well.
What makes a good gaming build? I would think that it would play games, right?
Well, yeah, but you can play games on your phone, right?
Well, that's true. That's true. And you can play, console.
And you can play games on a laptop.
True.
Which is something you couldn't do several years ago.
Although a good gaming laptop is a little more expensive as well because, yeah, you know, reasons.
If we go down this list here, what was suggested was a Core i7-8700, not the K edition. That's a decent processor. It's an i7. It's got the hyper-threading. It's got the quad core because this is a, it's a 6-core. Sorry.
The 6-core. Now, this is not the basic i7, right? The 8700 is kind of in the middle of the range, if I am not mistaken, with the 6-cores.
That's with the previous generation. So we have the new 9000 series.
Oh, that's right. Yes.
So without the K edition, this is the locked version.
And basically last generation. So one generation back.
Yep.
Which is a great, actually, way to pick up a processor. I know when we're talking about budget builds, especially, if you can go back a generation, you can't always do that. You can get a little bit more sometimes for your budget, but then you have compatibility questions.
Well, and with the latest generation, the 8000 and the 9000 from Intel, they use the same motherboard. Well, the same socket, I should say. With the 8000 series, you had to do a Z370 motherboard. And then when the 9000 comes out, then you get a new chipset, which is the Z390. But they are reverse compatible.
But not forward compatible, right? So if nope. I see the hint that you've got an MSI Z370A Pro on here, which will seat the 8 series, but will it seat the 9 series?
No, it will not. There's some voltage stuff that changes between the processors.
Okay, so I'm already seeing maybe an opportunity for some substitution, but let's continue.
I should back up a little bit with the PC parts picker. They pride themselves on making sure everything is compatible. It even says up here, compatibility check, no issues or incompatibilities found.
Nice.
When you're putting that build together on this website, they will go through them and ensure that, well, if you pick an 8000 series processor, they're going to pick the Z370.
Okay.
As what's compatible.
Guaranteed compatibility. That's a good thing, though. Take some risk out.
So the non-K editions Intel come with the basic OEM heatsink.
Ew.
Yeah, I know. So what was suggested here was the Hyper 212 Evo. Great cooler. It's just cheap.
It is cheap. And one of the most popular and most longevity-ish.
Yeah, it's been around forever.
That's what I'm trying to say. Right. Yeah, very popular choice. In fact, I've had this in one of my builds back in the past, or a couple of them, actually.
Yeah, my brother has a build that I put together for him back in Windows 7 first came out that has a Hyper 212.
Very nice, though. I'm seeing
16 gigs of G-Skill Aegis memory, which is 3,000 megahertz.
That's definitely price motivated. Now, we recommend G-Skill memory a lot because it's good bang for your buck, but the Aegis is, yeah, definitely on the lower end of the level.
Yeah. And then for storage, we're going with a classic. We did the SSD primary drive and then a rotational storage drive, but we're going with the Kingston A400 240 gig. Again, price motivated. We picking a cheap SSD for the sake of it being cheap.
Now, I do have to defend a little bit here because my gaming PC has a 240 gig M.2. Now, of course, it's the 860 from Samsung, so a great performing drive.
Yeah, an NVMe interface.
And my backup drive, which I have been debating replacing this year, is a 2 terabyte hybrid drive from Seagate. So not quite a Barracuda. I would say it's quite a bit faster, but it's a similar solution, taking both of those up a level.
And combined, these are, what, $90, well, basically for the two combined.
Still much cheaper than mine. And to be fair, though, if I bought it today, that is not the route that I'd be going on. And let's come back to that.
Yeah, we'll come back. It's a gaming PC, so you need to have gaming graphics. And we got the MSI GeForce GTX 1060 6 gigabit.
I think that's a great choice. That's definitely the cheapest video card I think either one of us would recommend for gaming.
Totally agree there. Case. You can go into the weeds. You can go in the sky with cases. The one that was picked here was the Deepcool Tesseract. I kind of know from experience and the fact that this is only $45, this is going to be a rattle trap.
I'm not familiar with the price, but the name is cool. Deepcool Tesseract. Sounds very exciting.
It's kind of an ugly case in terms of, you know, case aesthetics. A lot of people don't care about the case.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
It sits under their desk. They don't really care.
Well, I'd be curious to see, you know, if it comes with any fans, what kind of performance you get. Because the other thing to think about with gaming PC is you want it to breathe well. You never want the case to hinder the components. And because I'm not familiar with that, you know, at the $45-ish range plus shipping, so $50, I think there are a lot of cases in that range that we'd recommend.
I would agree, although in that range is kind of cheap for the sake of being cheap.
Yeah, that is true. Entry level, for sure.
Entry level. Final item, hardware-wise, is the Seasonic Evo Edition 620-watt Bronze. I look at this and I have flashbacks of my car audio days when you would get this 800 watt amplifier, right? And it'd be just this monster thing, but it only put out 50 watts because the 800 watt was a peak if you ran it on 24 volts.
Oh my gosh.
And with power supplies in general, a lot of times they will go and fudge the numbers just so that they can say, hey, we got 620, even though this is only a 600 watt power supply.
Well, I know we've talked about this in a more recent podcast. And it really has kind of been part of that migration as the price has gone up that we used to recommend a 600 watt power supply as being just about right for a single video card build. And if I'm not mistaken, Dennis, I think that within the last year, we've moved our recommendation up to an 800 watt.
Yes. 750 to 800 is kind of the sweet spot for power for any sort of a gaming build. It can be a cheap gaming build, it can be an expensive gaming build, but it's going to be able to handle all the way up to a 2080 Ti, for instance.
Now, Seasonic is a brand that has a pretty good reputation, but when I see 80 Bronze and I see a price that's under $40, it just kind of scares me. It reminds me of the entry-level Corsairs, like the 430s and stuff. I mean, it'll work for a basic PC, but the foundation of your computer, the foundation, like the foundation of your house or the tires on your car, is really critical. You don't want to skimp there.
No. And it's $20 off. I mean, this power supply was picked because it was cheap. You know, you want to keep it below $1,000.
And that's so hard too, because you can nickel and dime yourself out of your budget pretty quickly.
Exactly. The final piece, Windows 10 Home OEM Edition. It's $10 off at $110.
Yeah, this is painful. I'm still surprised that you have to pay this much for Windows 10. But you know, you got to have it. You want to get it from a respectable spot because it's so easy to get really ripped off from some weird foreign site. So if you're buying an operating system, make sure you get it from a reputable site. You might pay a little bit more, but there's just so much risk there.
Yeah, I mean, the price is set for a reason. So I looked at this list and I quickly added it up. PC Parts Picker claims that it is $1,080.
Oh, pretty close to the budget.
Yeah, there's $50 of mail-in rebates. The total base price was $1,100. They were asking for my recommendation, and I had sent back this list. It's an amended list.
So your price is almost exactly the same.
Yeah, I have $1,100 total, but I'm throwing in a couple of freebies that I had laying around the lab. So for instance, the 16 gigabytes of memory that I have, I was throwing that in. I was going to also throw in an AIO water cooler because I have a bunch of those.
And get rid of the 212. It's a classic.
Yeah, yeah, I know. And then I was going to throw in some miscellaneous fans because, you know, you might need fans.
There you go, folks. If you're going to build a PC, buddy up with a hardware geek.
Yes, yes. So the one thing that I noticed on the PC parts picker list was that we have the Deep Cool, which is a big case, a rattle trap. We also have a full-size motherboard because reasons. And I didn't have a problem with the processor, but I did have a problem with the size.
Mm-hmm.
Because a gaming PC doesn't have to be big, I don't think. In my recommend back, we went with a Gigabyte Z390 Ars Pro Wi-Fi. This is a mini ITX motherboard based off of the Z390 chipset, the new chipset.
Sure, and you've got the Ars system, which is really new. Obviously, you have Wi-Fi, so a little versatility.
Yeah, and that was one thing that wasn't on the PC parts picker list. You don't have Wi-Fi. You had to plug it in to get network.
All right.
I went with the Fantex Evolve ITX case.
A little smaller.
Yeah, it has a tempered glass side panel. It fits that case or the motherboard really well and comes with a 140-millimeter intake and exhaust fan.
Nice. Breathes well. Has a window.
Yeah.
Lots good there. And I see that it comes in multiple colors, so you can customize it.
They picked a white one, which I thought was pretty awesome.
Nice. White PCs, make it a comeback.
Yes. Power supply. I went out to Newegg. These are all Newegg prices, by the way. EVGA Supernova 850 Gold. A G1 Plus. It's a gold power supply. It's a little bit more money. It's $80, but it had a mail-in rebate. So, you know, getting money back, that's good.
So I think we should stop for a quick second and refresh people's memory. What does it mean, gold versus bronze?
Oh, that's the 80 plus rating. There is an independent testing organization, if you will, that tests the efficiency of a power supply at different rating points at like 20% power, 50% power, and 80% power, I think, somewhere in that range. To get an 80 plus rating of gold or bronze or silver or whatever, it has to meet an efficiency rating within that bell curve. And if it is a bronze, it's actually not as efficient as one that's in gold. Gold, I think, is at 92% across the board. That's 92% power being transformed into power and not into heat. That's really the important part.
So what's the benefit of getting a gold or even a platinum over a bronze?
You produce less heat. That was one thing I mentioned. It's also more efficient so that it's not going to pull as much power from the wall if it doesn't need to. And also that fan that's attached to it to keep it cool, a lot of times that fan won't spin, so your system will be a lot more silent.
So not as much heat, quieter, and if it's not pulling as much power, in theory, it's cheaper to run.
Saves money. All right, getting back to this. I went a different route with storage. I went with the Crucial P1 1TB NVMe M.2 drive.
Now, this is requiring, of course, a compatible motherboard.
Which we have.
Okay, now did the other build have a... No, it didn't. It had a traditional SSD.
Yeah, so the other build had the 240 SSD over SATA plus a 2TB SATA rotational drive.
So a tremendous performance boost here, but single drive solution.
Yeah, and it's 1TB, and it's also $150, which is a bit more than the two drive combo.
So not as much space, but a tremendous amount more performance. Well, that seems like a good thing for gaming.
And the rest of it's the same. I liked the video card. I couldn't find a cheaper one. I liked the processor. You could have gone and saved yourself $20 by going with the Core i5-8600K, which gives you overclocking ability. You lose hyper-threading, but it's already a 6-core processor. And if you're just gaming, sometimes hyper-threading doesn't really benefit you. You could save $20 there, basically.
At that point, it's only $20, though, so I kind of see your point.
And then, of course, Windows 10. And all that came to $1,100. My friend's daughter actually bought all the parts, and she went with everything except for my storage solution. She picked everything else from my list, but wanted to do the two drive instead of the single.
Two drives are better than one. I get it. Hey, it's not a bad idea. I think, though, it might be interesting to see what some of the other sites are saying a custom PC build in that price range would be. So I took the liberty of looking a couple of them up for you.
So what? Which one did you want to look at first?
Well, these days there aren't a lot of options online, so I thought maybe we should start with PC Gamer's high-end gaming PC just to set a benchmark. So now PC Gamer is one of our favorite things to quote. They're kind of the granddaddy of online. They publish a magazine And they are really kind of famous for publishing their builds, so they're an easy go-to. Maybe a little bit of an easy target sometime, like the old Dream PC that we've talked about in some of our previous builds. Now, keep in mind, they're calling this a high-end PC game build. Now, what I found most interesting about this is their high-end game build really came in just around $2,000, so double the budget, to be fair. But let's call this kind of the benchmark, what would be, for lack of a better term, an ideal gaming PC, and see what the difference is.
All right. So we start out with a massive processor change. We have a Core i7-9700K. And this is, with the new Intel ones, we have a Core i9-9900K. And then this is the one step down. This is a little bit slower, basically, is the only difference.
So we'd call this maybe a mid-range i7, although that's a little hard to say about any i7. It's the K edition. And much, much faster. It's also $418 as of this moment.
Yeah.
But the good news is it fits also on the Z390 motherboard.
Yeah, and they picked the Z390 Aris Ultra, which is a full-size or full ATX motherboard. Aris, the Ultra, I think, is not the top of the line, but it is up there.
Now, it's a pretty board, a little nicer, and a jump of about $80 maybe. But of course, you're getting a full size, so it's going to cost more. And the advantage of the full size is you're getting generally more onboard processing, different things like higher end audio, more slots, that sort of stuff. But if you don't use them, then you're throwing your money away.
Exactly. And that was one reason I picked the Mini ITX in the previous build, because I knew that they were going to build it once and not really do it a lot of upgrades.
Now, here's the other giant chunk of money. That's the extra $1,000 between the two. Not a big surprise for the video card they've gone with. Dun, dun, dun.
RTX 2080. Not the tie, just the 2080.
Because who wouldn't at least get a 2080? And I am a little surprised that they didn't get the tie, but I think it's because the performance between the 2080 and the 2080 tie is really only necessary for extreme use.
Well, and if you have a big monitor, like if you're running a 30-inch or a widescreen, you'd want to go with the tie. It's just going to be smoother.
So this is $765, which is a tremendous jump in price. So we've eaten basically about $80 of that $1,000 difference just in those two component pieces. Yeah. I'm sorry, $800. Wow.
Well, the three components we just talked about, this is 420, 212, and 800. So yeah, It's a lot. This is at Walmart. That's crazy. Who knew that Walmart sold 2080s?
And it's competitive, apparently.
Yeah. Memory, we have 3200 megahertz G-Skill Trident RGB 16 gigs.
So I got to stop right here, Dennis, because I know that it's probably enough to have 16 gigs, but I just don't feel like anything that calls itself a high-end gaming PC that has 16 in it is correct. I think that 32 should be the number. And that being said, I still kind of consider 16 the minimum to be in a gaming PC. And I feel like maybe I'm putting my monocle and my top hat on when I say that, because that's a little bit snobby to say.
I would actually agree with you. I know that you can game on 8 gigs of memory. I've done it, and it actually works pretty well. The problem is, when you go to 16, things are just faster and smoother. You can cache more maps in memory. It loads off the hard drive faster. 32, I think, is the shiny belt buckle
of
the gaming PC. 32, if you can get it, great. The best way to get it, though, is, for instance, on this motherboard, it's the 1151, and it has dual-channel memory, but four memory sockets. So if you get 32 gigs, you can get four 8-gig sticks and put them in there and fill all of them up with RGB.
So I think that you could split the difference, get a little bit slower RAM instead of the 3200, get the 3000, and get 32 gigs and still be around $200. Now, that being said, that's, again, a tremendous boost over what we had. So if you're looking at our basic gaming build, I would say 2x8 is probably about right. I don't know that I would stretch to 3400, because for the average gaming PC, the difference between 3000 and 3400 is not noticeable.
At all, ever.
All right, so let's talk about this next choice.
Oh, the Samsung 970 Evo 1TB.
Yes.
This is not the fast NVMe Evo, but it is pretty darn up.
Yes, that is a fantastic drive, but is it overkill at $259 for a standard gaming PC? Yes.
Yes.
Absolutely. Do I want one of my PC? Yeah, give me two or four. Yeah. But Yes.
I know that you can get equal performance from Mushkin and Crucial at half the price.
And in fact, this is a great opportunity to look back at the previous generation Samsung Evo and get a 960 maybe as a boot drive and then come back later and add a regular SSD storage drive, maybe another Crucial 960 or something along those lines. Mm-hmm. Save a bunch of money. You're not going to fill up that drive right away, even at maybe 500 or 600, and save a ton of money. Again, not going to notice a dramatic performance boost. And you could go, like you say, for a Mushkin or one of these other more budget-friendly brands and not have really any noticeable difference in performance and save a ton of money.
Power supply. We have EVGA Supernova 850P2, which I question the price. This is $160.
Oh,
the
yeah.
one that I had was only $80.
So
it's still gold.
I still
think... Oh, wait, no, this is platinum.
That's a platinum. That's a bit much. I'm a little surprised they went with an 850 in their system, but because they went with a single card design, they're kind of right in line with what we'd normally recommend. This is a fantastic, fantastic power supply for an 850, but I don't know that I would spend $159 on a drive. You could drop back to an 800, get a gold, and probably shave that price in half.
Yeah. This next one kind of gives me the shivers. But really? So we got the NZXT H500. This is making the rounds around the Reddit because it's only $70.
And it's pretty.
It's pretty. It's got lights.
Giant glass window, built-in lights, white. NZXT is a really good choice for an entry-level PC if you're looking at looks. And what you got to be careful about is performance. They're not bad performers, but out of the box, you don't get all the fans and air cooling solutions that you need. So there's a little bit of compromise there and sometimes a little bit of hidden cost.
Although everybody who's picking these cases loves them. I think they're just doing a Me Too thing here. I'm not sure. Oh, the last item, cooler. We need a cooler because, you know, the K Edition doesn't come with one.
Right.
And they went with the Cooler Master Liquid ML240R RGB.
Awesome.
Because reasons.
Yeah, pretty.
And
all-in-one, $100. Do I disagree with this build? That seems about the right price point. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of products that compete in that $100 to $120 range for all-in-ones. It's a dual, so it's a 240. It's a little bit larger. It's a great choice for this build. But for an entry level,
no,
not seeing it. Now, we've talked quite a bit about this, especially recently on the podcast, that an entry-level all-in-one unit and the Master Liquid is maybe a step above that, but not by much. And a good air cooler is pretty negligible. In fact, a good air cooler in some cases will perform better than an entry-level all-in-one unit. So in this case, do your research. Make sure you're getting what you want there. If you're not doing a windowed case, I mean, you can certainly save money by going with one that's not as pretty.
Like ditch the RGB, save yourself $30.
And the 2012 is still a great entry-level price. It's not my favorite cooler, but it gets the job done, and it's very budget-friendly.
Yeah, well, even with that processor, you can get by with a single 120-millimeter radiator if you go all-in-one. You don't need the dual. The dual is just kind of showing off.
So that being said, let's bounce over to, I think, that tab right there.
Darren's pointing at the sky again.
Next one over.
No, that's the same tab.
No, the left. Go left.
This one?
That. No. Go right.
I already did.
Now go left twice.
Here.
Hey, there you go. All right, I'm just messing with him. But
Tom's Hardware.
So the reason I want to bounce over there is we kind of consider Tom's Hardware the 1,000-pound gorilla. They are not always right, but they're always big. But they do have access to a lot of hardware. So they have their best custom PC build, and I want to focus on... They have five of them here, but I wouldn't want to focus on the second column. They've got a $1,000 build here.
And that, no compromises?
The no compromises build. And I want you to notice the case right off the top, which is what drew me to this initially.
The NZXT H500.
In white, again.
In white.
So let's see what Tom's decides sub-1,000, just barely, build would be, because they went a really different direction in a lot of ways.
This is painful.
Let's start at the top.
All right.
So for CPU. They didn't do any crazy cooling, so we can skip that.
Okay. So, yeah. It's the AMD Ryzen 5 2600.
Ooh.
It's not a Hacker CPU, but it's not really a premier gaming CPU.
So it is pretty budget friendly.
Yeah, but this is, well, let's see. Where does all the money go? Let's look.
All right. We so gotta, let's keep going. Okay,
so we got a Radeon RX 580 8 gig. Mm-hmm. So we get 8 gigs of frame buffer memory. That's good. We get the Radeon graphics, which is, you know, you get a lot of cores.
I think if I were going to go with a Radeon, the 580 would probably be the minimum. It is kind of the equivalent of the 1060, and the price point is really similar. I'd still choose the 1060. I think that's primarily because you're getting better performance, you're getting better efficiency, so you don't need as much power, you don't generate as much heat.
And you get the features that are inherent to NVIDIA cards within games.
Yeah, and I was going to kind of go there. It has more built-in bells and whistles, actually.
Yeah.
And to be fair, you know, I love AMD, but they're still playing catch-up.
Or mustard. So we got the G-Skill Ripjaws V-Series 3200 megahertz 16 gig kit. So we didn't go with the Tridents. We got Ripjaws, which are, they're good. It's just, it's the downmarket stuff.
Yeah, but I think they're getting 3200 for about the same price as the 3000 from some of the higher brands. Now, this is still better memory than we went with the Aegis. We gone that route.
Definitely. Motherboard, Asus Prime X470 Pro, which is, I'm going to say, a basic board. A BB.
BB. Now, it's Asus Prime, so it's probably bulletproof.
Oh, yeah. Optimus.
Optimus Prime.
Oh, power supply. Oh, they pulled this on and off of Reddit again. The Seasonic Focus Gold 550 watt.
Oh, good God. Now, I can't recommend a 550 watt, especially when we're going with an AMD processor and a Ryzen video. It's just not going to be enough, in my opinion.
They picked this one based on price.
Yes, they did.
All right, so storage, the Samsung 860 EVO 500 gig. So this is a standard SATA drive.
Now, they did kind of go with my recommend to go down market on a Samsung 860, but they didn't get the M.2 version. So they shaved a few bucks there, about another $20 or so, by taking that to the old SATA. Now, the downside is you're going to get some bottlenecking. Is it better than maybe you're used to if you're upgrading this PC? Absolutely. But for just a few dollars more, you can get really an amazing performance boost there, and you never want that to be your bottleneck.
Storage drive. We got the Seagate Barracuda 2TB. That seems to be really popular, and partially because it's freaking cheap.
I'm surprised that looking at all these builds, they've gone with multiple drive solutions.
Yeah.
Because I kind of feel like the multiple drive solution is no longer the cutting edge. It's sort of traditional old school.
Well, yeah, it is. That's the no compromises build. It's $1,000. It prices in at $992. I'm just scanning through the list here. We have two is better than one. This is the $5,000 build. I really don't want to read this one, but this one comes in at $4,900. We got a Fantex Mini XL. We have two AMD Ryzen 7 270X processors.
Why?
I know. We also have two EVGA RTX 2080 Ti 11 gig
there's
cards.
There's a big chunk of that money. All right, if you're going to go price is no object, get two 2080 Ti's. I get it.
And this next one is limited because of the CPU. We have two G-Skill Triton Z RGB 16 gig kits at 3600 megahertz. Anything faster and it would not work on that board.
Interesting.
We have Asus ROG Strix 8, what is it? The B450L Tough Series motherboard.
Hey, it says Plus Gaming though, right on it.
It says Plus. Hey, power supply.
Strix makes great products. They're pretty bulletproof in the Tough line.
That's true.
I tend to feel like that's a bit of an overpriced motherboard myself. I think I'd go with the gaming edition from another company first, not because I don't like Asus, but you're paying for the privilege.
Yes, yes. Power supply, Thermaltake Tough Power DPSG RGB Titanium 1500 watt because
you
why?
Can.
Yeah.
That's a little bit overkill also. At least you know that your power supply is going to be able to handle everything you throw at it.
Primary storage, two Intel 660P series 512 gigabyte. What? Huh? I think those are like the crappy Intel NVMe's.
Yeah, but they've got a 540S on the list too. So it looks like they're doing three drives plus two drives, which is sort of a because we can decision there.
Two UltraStar Hitachi 4TB drives.
Yeah. If you're going to throw money at it, let's get the latest Evo, you know, 2TB up front. Let's put one of those, you know, 10TB crazy storage monsters in it. I mean, if you're going to go that route, I mean, throw your money away in a little bit more reasonable fashion.
Yeah.
If it were me, I'd be looking at two NVMe drives, probably a couple of 2 terabyte drives would be my money's no object solution. And you're going to get crazy performance. If you need more than that and you're spending $5,000 on a PC, you should have a NAS drive in your house.
Agreed. And then we're, of course, wasting money on 7-bit Phoenix Spectra Pro RGB 140mm fans and some LED strips.
Because you can.
Because you can. This is, I don't know what else to say. This is terrible.
So I think maybe it's time to step back again to where we started and say, all right, we've talked about a lot of builds, so what the heck really is a gaming PC?
Build. Yes, what makes a gaming PC? As I mentioned before, a gaming PC can be anything. It can be your phone, it can be a laptop, it could be a Dell computer. It's the quality of the components that makes a gaming PC, in my opinion.
So we've talked a lot about the hardware being ahead of the software and the software being ahead of the hardware, depending on what year we talked about. Mm-hmm. And I think it's worth mentioning that really this is another year where the hardware is outpacing the software. It is a great example that you can pull up the minimum system requirements for some of the cutting edge games like Battlefield 5, Anthem.
Anthem, yeah. So Anthem says Intel Core i5 3570.
GTX 760 even on that one.
Yeah. Let's see. What does we have?
Minimum requirements there for PUBG. Wow. Easy.
Core i5-4430, not even a K edition.
Right.
Deus Ex Mankind Divided is a Core i3-7870.
See, not even current generation. You know, it's just frustrating to me that you're being sold machines that are $2,000 or higher to be gaming PCs. And let's face it, in my mind, the definition of a gaming PC is you can play your favorite game on high or ultra settings as a stretch, but you're going to be able to play it on recommended settings without any frame rate drops. I mean, that's just the bottom line. And that may be a different definition based on what kind of game you play. But we're talking about some cutting edge games, and even our little $1,000 build just destroys them. Are you going to maybe see performance hits? Oh, maybe. But is it going to affect your gaming? No. So what are you spending the extra money on, Dennis? Where's it going?
I'm going to put my extra money into a video card and into storage. But that is under the assumption that I already have a good base. So for instance, we got 750, 800 watt power supply. You can have that forever.
Right.
Basically, as long as the power supply doesn't blow up.
Yeah, get a good name brand.
Yeah, you'll keep it forever. Get a good case that breathes well. Get a current motherboard. Now, the thing with motherboards now is that it has to match the CPU that you pick.
Right.
We already talked about the 370 only working with 8,000 series Intels, the 390 working with 9,000 series Intels, but they're reverse compatible. So if you go with the 390 and an 8,000 series CPU, if you need more power, if you can actually upgrade the CPU, it gives you an upgrade path.
So in my world, I'm a little more budget conscious. I'm saying drop back to an i5. It's going to be plenty good for gaming. Spend a little extra money to stretch your video card. 1070, maybe a 2060. That'd be where I'd put the extra money.
Or a 1660.
Yeah, 1660.
Unless you want ray tracing.
If you really want to stretch, then you get a little bit bigger SSD drive, maybe a little more RAM, which we've already talked about. But my stretch money, guaranteed, I'd save money anywhere I could to get a little bit more video card. That's going to give you the best gaming performance as long as you don't let your RAM go down below 16.
The final item to spend money on is storage. It's been the bottleneck since the dawn of computers. And, you know, when we had that interview with our Crucial guy, you know, he said, hey, if you're not building a computer with an SSD, you're building it wrong.
I agree.
And we totally agree. The thing is, with SSDs, you have two different form factors. You have the SATA form factor and you have the NVMe form factor, which could be over M.2. But definitely get a drive that's large enough to have everything that you need on it. You know, 1 terabyte would probably be the target. Anything less than that, you're going to need a storage drive to have all your games and software and everything else you want to install.
Well, especially if you're trying to run productivity with software and your PC does more than just play games. And let's face it, most of us do. So that being said, Dennis, I think you can build a great gaming PC for around $1,000. I think the stretch to about $1,200 is a tremendous improvement, but just like everything else, you're always going to be able to get a little bit more for your price point. So check what games you're playing and spend your money very wisely.
For more information on the topics discussed in this podcast, please consult our show notes on hardwaresound.com. Stay up to date on the latest at Hardware Asylum by subscribing to our RSS. Follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook. This has been a Ninja Lane production, copyright 2019. Thanks for listening. So I was editing the last podcast, and I noticed that Darren hits the hard p all the time.
Because there's no pee filter.
All the time.
What happens if I pee on this microphone?
It will probably go psh.
And you'd have to edit it. See?
See? Exactly. So Angry Dennis goes out to Amazon and says, hey, I need a pop filter for a Rode Procaster.
Oh, yeah.
For the longest time, especially when I first bought these microphones, they didn't have pop filters. They didn't have the little thing that would go over the top. They didn't have the sock thing. I wanted him here to surprise Darren, so he went and go into the microphone.
That'd be so awesome.
See, look.
I know.
My pee is not as strong as your pee. Obviously, there's a problem here.
I need to go to see a gynecologist.
Gynecologist.
If you're going to joke, make it a good one.
Yeah, exactly.